You guys,
oh gosh,
this is like the most adorable, most wonderful thing.
This is the most pure podcast.
This is a very pure podcast. No.
I love listening to your guys' voices. Truly, it's very soothing for me.
Me too.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
In.
Now we can. Oh, sorry.
I was going to count down. Just forget it. Okay.
I'm all alone now. I'm all alone. I'm all alone.
Welcome, everybody, to our newest episode of And Here's Why, with myself, Paige.
And Lauren.
We are a podcast where thoughts and feelings can be poured out about books, movies, and TV shows that get you in the feels.
We'll be tackling one topic per episode, and typically with, but not limited to, guests joining us as well.
This episode, we do have a special guest joining us.
Yes, today we have actor and comedian Steven Glickman.
Welcome, Steven. Please tell all of our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm best known for playing Gustavo Rock for 5 years on the Nickelodeon series Big Time Rush, and for playing Pigeon Toady in the animated Warner Brothers film Storks. Probably my most well-known credits. I'm also the host of the Nighttime Show podcast, which I have been hosting now for about 5 years. Pretty fun.
And Steven, please let me add that you made the show. I just want to leave it at that. So thank you for what you contributed to Big Time Rush.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
She just had to put in that note.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Someone had to say it.
Thank you, Paige. That's very sweet of you. It was a very good time. I had a little too much fun doing a television. That was a lot of fun.
Steven has chosen to discuss the 2003 murder mystery novel, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
That is correct. That is one of my favorite books.
I was so happy that you chose this book. I've loved it since. I think it was a summer reading project for school, actually. I was forced to read it, and I ended up falling in love with it. This is one of my favorite books ever. I was surprised you chose it, honestly.
Oh, it is definitely one of my favorite books. Something that has stuck with me for a long time. For a few years there, it looked like it was going to get a movie because Brad Pitt had bought the rights to make it his company, and then the rights reverted back when they didn't make it. And then they made it as a, I think as a Broadway play. They did it in, I know they did it in London. It did very well. And like, I haven't seen the whole play. I've only seen, you know, selections of it. But the book just really stayed with me. It's just a very cool piece of work.
Both the book and the play actually are just like award magnets. Yeah. Surprisingly, though, a lot of people that I've talked to have no idea about this book.
At me.
Yeah, literally, Paige. I don't know. I just love this book so much. And Paige, how'd you think about the book?
Okay, so when Lauren said this is what you wanted to discuss, I was like, oh, I've never read that. She's like, don't worry, I have it. And I was like, okay. So she brings it to me. It is tattered. That thing has clearly been read a few times. And I was like, okay, so I sat down to read it, and I actually, did you hear that?
Yep, that was Ace.
That was my doggo.
I love
it. He clearly has some thoughts on Wellington as well. No. So I started reading it, and I've got a lot going on this week. We're in the middle of a move, and so like I've just got so much going on, and I sat down to read this one day in my free time, and I was like, what the heck is going on? I have a hard time reading anyway, just if it's not anything fiction, really. If it's fiction, I'm going to have a hard time reading it just to sit and focus on it. But I honestly liked it. It was just not what I was expecting. I could tell a few pages into it, there was a lot going on. So
yeah, I mean, a murder mystery about a dead dog told from the perspective of a kid with autism is not, it does, that is not a common plot line for a book. Like,
And you do not have to read the description to know that this kid has autism. Like, literally first chapter, maybe the first paragraph, you're like, okay, so he's different.
Yeah. I think it started on page 2, or it may have even been 1, is where the book actually starts.
It was chapter 2, because he only likes prime numbers, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a math lesson and I got a science lesson. And yeah, I learned a lot.
I thought it was fascinating where, like, almost immediately, I think I was a few chapters in where I was like, wait a second, is this being written? Okay, the guy who wrote this, Mark Haddon, like,
yeah,
does he have autism? And is this his story? Or whose story is this? And is he basing this on something? Because, like, your mind is trying to figure out how it's possible that this guy is just nailing a character so significantly. He had worked in, like, a care center for, like, people with autism, and that's where all the inspiration comes from on this. So it's not like from one individual person, it's from, like, a series of people, and which is pretty cool. Like, it's a neat way to do it. The thought that, like, it was just because he was a great writer did not even cross my brain. I was like, no, it's got to be some other reason.
No,
because it just seemed too good. And it's one of two books that I've read numerous times where I kind of have it on the shelf, you know, and it's in a hard rotation. That book and Top of the Rock are the two that I have read again and again and again, where they just, you know, kind of have stayed with me.
And it's the type of book where I know that it's not meant to be, like, out and out funny, but just some of his mannerisms and just characteristics, you can't help but laugh out loud at, like, some of the stuff that Christopher says.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious. He's got no filter. Like, oh, raising your eyebrows, that means that they want to do the sex with you. And it's like,
yeah.
What?
Yes, totally. And you know what's so funny is the character kind of helped me identify that one of my best friends, that I had been one of my best friends for almost my entire life. I think we became best friends when we were about 12, 13. He has Asperger's, which is basically like a form of autism. Like somewhere on that spectrum, but it, you know,
right.
I started picking up things in the book where I was like, "Whoa, this is a bit of an identifier for what it must like be to be for him," you know, because he says stuff to me like, "Oh my God, this is gonna sound horrible," but.
You tell.
I introduced him to a woman that was interested in him. And so then I thought that they were like a good fit together. And so then they dated for a little while. He had asked another friend of ours, this guy Mike, he'd asked him what he thought of her. And Mike was like, I don't like her very much. I don't think you guys are right together. So he went to his girlfriend. Uh-oh. And he said to her, so I asked Steven and Mike what they think of my relationship with you, and Steven thinks that we're great together, and Mike thinks that we're not good together, and I'm gonna side with Mike.
Oh wow.
That's how he told this girl that he was not interested in dating her anymore. He was like, no. I don't know how else to say it. Like, I talked to two people. One had one opinion, one had the other, and I siding with the other opinion. You're like, what? Like, that's not how
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll go down in the books as a bad breakup tactic.
Yeah.
So Lauren tells me, Paige, I think you'd really like this book because it starts off with a murder. And little backstory, I'm going to school for like crime scene investigation and all that. So that's why Lauren assumed I would enjoy a story about murder.
Not because she's a psychopath.
I'm not a psychopath. So I start the book. It's a dog. I'm like, Lauren, why did you think I would enjoy that intro to the book? So whatever. As I'm reading this book, I watch The Good Doctor with my husband. He loves that show. And I'm like, I feel like Dr. Sean Murphy is reading me this book. And then as I got further into it, I was like, that is because he has autism.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I definitely understood that.
That's so funny. especially that show, Sean Murphy, for the first month of that, or 2 months of that show airing on TV, every day the promo for it was, he's different than everyone, like, he's different than the other doctors, he's younger, but he's smarter, and then he would go, I'm Sean Murphy, and it, like, it made me laugh. Every time, because I was like, okay, all right, Sean Murphy, relax, okay?
Yeah, they definitely, I love the show. I think he's an amazing actor. But, mm-hmm. like, it's gotten to the point, just some of the tendencies and stuff, I feel like they almost over-exaggerate it. And my husband and I will talk like that for our dogs. That sounds awful. But, like, when we make our dogs talk, we're like, if you will excuse me, I need to go outside, please. And they're kind of like... Yeah.
I'm glad that I got to enjoy this book through the audiobook feature, because just listening to the voice actor for Christopher was... It was an honest treat just hearing him say the wildest things in, like, a completely monotone, serious voice.
Was it the liar one about liars go to jail?
It was. He was talking about slander, yep. And he's like, and when they talk to Mrs. Shears,
they'll know.
Because lying is slander and just illegal. I'm like, yes, relatable.
If oh only everyone God. Would take that approach to life. What a world.
Or just me being an author, I really related to when he said a simile is not a lie unless it's a bad simile, and I'm like, yes. These are facts.
I did enjoy, though, the theme of this book, you know, him just becoming independent, and I like that he's curious. You know, he wanted answers, and when he didn't get those answers, he went out looking for them, and I feel like everyone's inner investigator would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I was that kid.
I like both of you a great deal. I think
Whoa! You
guys have such great energy and are so fun.
Are we vibing right now? Is that what's happening? Vibing.
This is a whole vibe sesh that's happening right
now. It's happening. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm appreciating this content.
I know, yeah.
I did not realize that this was a British publication.
A British
publication. And then he was making a snack when he got home after after his dad brought him home from jail. And I was like, I don't know what that is. It was orange something. And then a little later, I was like, oh, maybe that's just me, because I knew the book was a little older. And I was like, maybe that's just a snack I wasn't introduced to. Then it's talking about Euros. And I was like, okay. And then he called his mom.
That's a clean giveaway.
I hate the word mum, just because I'm from the South, and so when I'm talking about my mom, I say mama, so it's just weird to hear mum.
So where in the South are you from?
North Carolina.
Oh I've been there.
Oh shucks, well tell me all about it, partner.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to just in South Carolina, I went to a place called South of the Border. Have you ever been there?
We drive by there, actually, coming up from Florida to go visit and all. Pablo's this and Pedro's this.
It is one of the weirdest. It's like a fake Mexican neon city just on the border from North to South Carolina. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life.
She's the type of person who's like, stranger danger, what? Because, again, she's like Christopher. She's like, I will hit, and I hit hard. So
tiny but mighty. If you get too close or you make me feel uncomfortable, you don't know what I'll whip out of my purse to assault you with. So
her being married, she's like, everybody's hitting on me now. Someone could be like, oh, do you want some ketchup with that? And she'd be like, oh my God, I'm married. Can you stop? Like,
please stop. Why are you so obsessed with me? Oh my gosh. It's embarrassing for you.
God, that's hilarious.
Someone's got to toot my horn.
Well, you know, like my girlfriend and I were talking the other day, and I said, you know, somebody sent me a boob picture.
What?
On the social, through the social media.
Talk about your fan mail. That is inappropriate.
Well, I said to my girlfriend, I go, my God, can you believe it? I got someone sent boobs to me in the mail, in an email.
Whoa, that got real weird.
Yeah, and then my girlfriend goes, for me, it's every 5 seconds of the day. I check my inbox on Instagram is just dick pic central, you know? And I was like, what? I was like, what is going on? And she said, yeah, that's like, it's not like, to me, it was like, oh my God. Once in a year, boobs show up in my DMs. And I think it's like the biggest deal in the whole world. I call a meeting of all the men I know.
You're like, listen, I just need to talk about the inappropriate findings on my social media platform. And it's just for situational awareness, of course. But
calls mom. Mom, I made it.
Mom, I made it. I got boobs. Someone sent me boobs. Mom.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm like, I'm so proud of you, son. You're doing it. Meanwhile, my girlfriend's inbox is just dicks, just piles of
dicks. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
It's an amazing thing. Both of your husbands are in the service?
Big Air Force guys.
I thought you were going to say dependas. I was like, yes, ma'am.
Air Force wives. That's amazing, though. How cool is that?
No complaints here.
The Air Force does some pretty amazing stuff. And I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Big fan. Huge Air Force guy.
Big Air Force guy. Big fan of the Air Force.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for your service, because both of you guys are a part of this just as much as your husbands are.
Well, thank you so much. I will not tell you my rank because it doesn't matter, but thank you.
Yeah.
I used to work on an airfield many, many years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, Palomar Airport Airfield. I worked as a biplane airplane detailer. I would clean up and gas up the biplanes and some of the old Army planes and stuff that they would take and fly out of Palomar Airport in San Diego.
Well, color me impressed.
Yeah, and much respect to you, because people just do not leave airplanes in a pristine condition. So thank you so much for cleaning up after their rude behavior.
Hey, absolutely. Also, I did, should say this, I did get fired from that job. Should add that. I don't want to misrepresent myself.
Don't sell yourself short there. Give us all the details.
I was standing on the airfield doing something, and a guy in his in a small Cessna pulled up, and then he gave me a couple hand signals, and then I gave him a couple hand signals, and then he nodded and then drove the plane away. And then my boss said, hey, what hand signals did you give him just now? And I said, I don't know. I was making it up. And he said, oh, you are fired from this job. And that was the end of my time there.
So you still don't know what you told him in hand signals?
Nope. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went from there. If he didn't like fly and take off, he definitely drove his plane to a different part of the airport. So that was...
Oh,
flies,
wow.
To the Bermuda Triangle. No one hears from him again.
Yeah, he's like, well, Steven Glickman told me to fly directly into the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, what year was this? Because you may have the answer to some...
Amelia unsolved... Earhart was the passenger. Yeah. Too soon? Is that too soon of a joke? I don't know.
Possible. It was the year was 1940.
I just want to point out that this actually does kind of relate back to this book. Remember when Christopher was going on his rant about like heaven and whatever, and he was talking about picturing the government shooting off dead bodies from rockets into space?
Oh, yeah.
So they can get through a black hole and into heaven.
Oh, so good.
I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
That just gave me the funniest mental picture. Again, I was on my bike and I was just like cracking up by my lonesome.
Okay, freak. That's so morbid. You're like, man, that's so silly. Dead bodies on rockets?
Well, I was just picturing, it's a funny, I was picturing it more cartoony than like real life morbid-y.
Okay.
So does that make me sound less of like a sociopath? I don't know. Maybe not.
Not really.
It was funny.
The tendencies are still there. It's okay.
It was funny.
It does feel like it should be a movie, though.
Right?
It's one of the few big, good books that's like done really well that hasn't been made into anything, you know?
I would love to watch it as a movie, honestly. And when I read that it was a play, I know you mentioned that earlier, but I would love to see that. It's got a great story, you know? And two, like, I like seeing inside the minds of other people, you know, how they think, especially like when someone does have a special need, you don't always get their thought process or why they do the things they do or say the things they say. And I thought that it was really awesome to get inside Christopher's mind and see how he handled dealing with loss and finding his independence.
Yeah.
For sure. I had a revelation during that book too, just when he was talking about his little quirk with the cars and how he's like, oh, four red cars means a good day and four yellow cars, I think that's the number, means it's a bad day.
A black day.
That's what it was. Then he kind of went in to reference about someone going to work, getting ready for the office and getting out of their house. If the sun is out, it's going to be a good day. And if it's raining, it's going to be a bad day. And he was just kind of talking about there's no logic for that. Like, why does the weather have anything to do with if you're going to have a good or a bad day? Then he went into saying that you just like things to have a certain order, and he's not weird or illogical. That's just the order that he likes things.
Like, I have a lot of friends here in LA where when it rains here in town, it ruins their day. Like, they get so sad and they don't know what to do. And like, for me, when it rains here, it was raining the first week and a half maybe of coronavirus lockdown, and I was so depressed because I felt like the world was turned off, and like, and everything that I was trying to do that I worked so hard to do in my career and my life is just stopped suddenly. And it was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna go out for a walk to like clear my head. Like, you couldn't go out for a walk because it was pouring rain, and it was like my dogs didn't even want to go outside, it was weird. But then when it, you know, now it's like super sunny and nice out here, and it is it makes the days a lot better in a lot of ways, even though it's, you know, it's just the weather. It has nothing to do with emotions, you know.
I literally had that thought I think it was yesterday. My husband and I went on a long walk with our dogs. Like, just, it was a beautiful day out. And I was like, what an effect that can truly have on your mood, you know, just if the weather's nice. That's so bizarre. Like, how do we even?
Yeah, it is very strange. And it's fun that like, it takes a kid with autism to explain it, where you're like, oh yeah, I get it, you know. Or he has a whole thing in there about different faces and how this face means,
yes,
sad, this face means happy, and then trying to learn what other faces means. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, how many people always say that folks have, like, you know, you resting bitch faces, or
I've been told that I have that.
No, I don't believe that at all.
You're the best.
You have a cutie princess face, remember?
Like people see me and think that, and I'm like a big sweet bear of a person, but people see me a lot and like assume that I am
gonna mess them up.
That I'm, something's gonna bad's gonna go down, you know, or that like I'm kind of a scary looking person until I smile or I start talking.
It's not a Christopher situation where he put Sarah in a concussion, which was a G move, by the way.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Oh, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah. God, that's so funny. Oh my God. I'm gonna have to start the book over now, because now I'm like, oh my God, there's like stuff that I've forgotten. Because I've read it a few times, but then you're like, oh my God, it's worth revisiting anytime.
My favorite, most relatable part was, she was probably a good person because she liked dogs. And I'm like, yep, that is fact.
That is a forever mood.
Yep. 100%. 100%. I totally get that. That's a fair assessment. Do either of you guys have dogs? Are you allowed to have dogs there?
Yes. So actually, we both have two dogs, and I have Hallie. Paige has Luna, and they're actually biological sisters.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This love story just gets better and better. I'm telling you.
No, look at you guys. You guys are so. No, wait, now with Paige moving away, like that's gotta be a little difficult. How far away are you moving, Paige?
Just 10 hours. But the fun story actually is Lauren's also moving in the fall. She's literally moving across the country.
I will be in Las Vegas.
Wow, that is bananas. Oh my God.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Seriously, I'm gonna freak out.
Honestly, I could go as far as saying she really is like a little sister to me.
I'm gonna throw up.
I don't know. It's gonna be super hard. We're both gonna, you know, be busy. We're busy women. We've got goals. And so the reason why we started this podcast was so we would have designated times to sit down. We pick a topic. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna be on the same page.
What a smart idea. That's brilliant.
That's why Lauren's the author.
One of the reasons why I started my podcast was because I was watching a lot of our friends kind of like drift apart in different ways.
Aww.
I have like a few very good close friends that I love spending time with and, you know, love having projects and things to do with them. Now it's been, you know, 4 or 5 years of working together on this show. We have 171 episodes that are out.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thanks. That's around 171 hours of just me and these schmucks sitting around and talking.
I think that's amazing because we kind of did the same thing.
The thing that's important about podcasting is a really nice thing to be able to do, you know, for memories and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's nice. Like, back in the 90s, everybody had video cameras and they were running around videotaping everything. And it was super annoying. And it was like a big fad. Like, people would be, you know, like, hey, I've got my video camera. You know, and it was like so annoying. And no one ever did anything with the tapes. There was no internet, you know, or place to put stuff up for people to watch.
Just for funsies.
But with podcasting, it's the same kind of thing, except it's there forever. And you can go back and listen to it. And you can always, you know, deepen your friendships with your friends because of it. Even though we all have to sit far away from each other, whatever, it's worth it, you know?
Christopher would have thrived throughout this whole coronavirus pandemic because he didn't like near him to begin with.
He would have loved it. He would have loved it.
No, all in all, I did enjoy this book. Like, the first half of it, I had read it, and Lauren's like, so what do you think? I was like, I don't know, but I did enjoy it, and I thought it brought up some really important issues.
I love it.
I don't know how I feel, though, about the fact that he ended up with his mom kind of more predominantly.
Because she left him. But to be fair, she did write to him and he didn't know about it.
And not even that. I think the biggest thing for me is because he was treating his dad so poorly. I mean, I know his dad had killed Wellington, but I mean, his dad knows him so well. He knows how to treat him to make him comfortable. And his mom, you could tell, was very uncomfortable parenting him. She would get very frustrated very fast. She didn't care about the boundaries that he set because he was very explicit in saying, I don't want you to touch me. And she was like, well, can I hug you just because I want to? And he's like, no, don't touch me. And it was just very frustrating that he kept siding with his mom and being like, I want to stay with her. I want to stay with her, just because he was so mad at his dad. And that almost made me mad at Christopher, because I'm like, don't get me wrong, I think that she loved him, but wasn't as accepting of the special needs, where his dad was overly acceptable about it.
Yeah.
I feel like moms want to touch you and hug on you and stuff more anyway. And the fact that she hadn't seen him in so long, and, you know, like, maybe it wasn't necessarily her being unrespectful of his wishes, but, like, maybe she really couldn't help herself. Because I know this is not the same thing, but if I'm, like, gone to work all day and I come home, my dog Luna, she does not want me to, like, hold her. She wants pets and stuff, but, like, if I just lay on her and try and hold her, she gets so mad. And I know she doesn't want that, but I want to hold her, so
yeah.
I hold her.
Well, yes, I mean, I have two dogs, and I hug them against their will as often as I possibly can.
Again, not the same thing, but it's as close as we can get right now. So
it's as close as we can get. We don't have an autistic kid hanging out, but what we do have
is our dogs.
I have a fat pug named Jelly Donut.
Dog.
Well, she hates getting hugs, but I will hug her anyways.
Does she have an Instagram?
She does not, but she deserves one.
Yeah, this is my formal request for her to have one.
All right, fine. All right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
She's so ridiculous. She's basically a pillow with eyeballs.
Oh, and does she make like the little snorting noises all the time because they can barely breathe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she's so got cute. The pushed-in snoot.
Yeah, she gets into the bed sometimes between my girlfriend and I, and then she'll just push up against my back and try to push me off the bed.
Oh, she's like, go away.
And then our other dog is Doodle, and he's a white terrier, and he's very put together,
very refined,
handles his business, you know, uses the bathroom in the right place, is you know, very on top of his game.
He's a model citizen.
He's a model citizen. He voted, you know, like, he's good. The only time that he is not that way is when he runs into or sees another dog. And if the dog that he sees is more than one color, like if it has like a patch, you know, like a patch of another color on it, he will have a full-blown nervous breakdown and like fall over like a goat. Like, he'll just collapse.
That is so bizarre.
Yeah, he can't handle it. To him, it seems insane. Like, he's seeing a monster or something.
He's like, whoa.
Steven, do you have a favorite part of Curious Incident?
There's a scene on the train. I remember being very moving and very intense, where he like gets on a train for the first, I think it's, he gets on a subway or gets on a train for the first time.
He goes to London to find his mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The trip to London, I remember being extraordinary. Like, I hate traveling, like, on planes and flying. Like, I don't enjoy it a great deal. And when I read it, it definitely struck a chord with me, because I always feel like everything is heightened when I'm on a train, like Amtrak, or when I'm hopping on a plane to go fly. Even like if I'm doing an hour long flight, I always kind of feel like it's
like you need a Xanax or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, because you're suddenly moving faster than you could walk, faster than you could drive. You're not in control of the thing that you're in. You're seeing places and things that most human beings were never supposed to see. Or there's something about that that's like really magical, but also
terrifying. Yeah.
If I fly over water, I am terrified, because I'm like, if this thing goes down, I might survive and a shark might eat me.
It's a real fear.
Yeah, there's nothing that I dislike more than the ocean. Like, I thoroughly do not enjoy the ocean. I think the ocean is an amazing place to look at.
It's not the water, it's what's in the water.
And it's that the ocean is gigantic. There are giant things that live there. Yeah, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Like, if Shamu, you know.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Shamu. If Shamu sometimes went to Chipotle and ate people, would you be like, we should go to Chipotle? Like, no.
I would take the chance.
Yeah, I'm like, Laura would still want to go. Me? You couldn't pay me to eat Chipotle. Man.
I love Chipotle. But I ain't brave with Chipotle for killer whales, you know?
Depends on the day. Have I seen four red cars or four yellow cars? Am I right? Is it a great day or a black day?
I love chatting with you guys. This is this has really been an extraordinarily amazing time.
Same. We have had a blast.
To end the show, we actually do a quote. My idea is we should all say in a way that you think Gustavo Rock would say this quote.
I think I do not tell lies, dogs. You have to like yell at them.
Wooka chicka, wooka chicka, wooka chicka, stop! Stop it forever.
Okay, yes.
I love it. I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, go. I do not tell lies, dogs.
So, Steven, where can people find you?
The podcast is www.thenighttimeshow.com. You can listen to the show there, or it'll have links there to all the different podcast places to listen to. You can get me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok at Steven Glickman, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Glickman, G-L-I-C-K-M-A-N. My album, Voices in My Head, it's my first big stand-up album. It is out right now for free on Pandora for your listening pleasure.
Spicy.
Awesome. Paige, take it away.
Alrighty. You can find our podcast on Instagram at andhereswhy_pod. My username is there in the bio, paige.hollinsworth.
And you can find me at Lauren H. Writes on Instagram as well as in our bio. Steven, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. It's been seriously so much fun. You're so sweet.
Yes. Thank you times a thousand.
I loved it. I thought it was so much fun, guys. Thanks again so much for having me, and stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.